It doesn't take an extraordinary experience to make health feel like an extraordinary blessing. Even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and in alignment with our values and mission to serve the most vulnerable in our community, Mission Hospital's Community Benefit Department announced a new strategic plan dedicated to improving the mental health of the most vulnerable. My guest is Bill Tornquist. He's the manager of the South Orange and CHEC Family Resource Centers located in Lake Forest and San Juan Capistrano, and he's a licensed marriage and family therapist. Welcome to the show, Bill. So tell us a little bit about Mission Hospital's Community Benefit Department's new strategic plan for mental health awareness.
Well, Melanie, the Community Benefit Department covers a lot of different areas, and the one area is mental health. And right now we're in the middle of our new three-year plan to focus on improving the health of others. And the mental health strategic plan, our goal is to improve the mental health of the most vulnerable through prevention, an integrated network of care, and by ensuring access to appropriate quality mental health services. And that's kind of a mouthful, but what that means is we have a different set of goals that we will try and achieve through some strategies like prevention. We want to reduce stigma around mental health because it's a huge issue. We also want to address barriers, reducing those barriers to accessing mental health services. We'd like to work with increasing a network of care, and that means kind of an access to quality services through coordination, through integration among providers, not just through Mission, but also out in the community. And then the capacity. There's an issue out there with not enough providers providing mental health services. So how do we go about getting more people out there and being creative? We have different ways we do that. And as I manage the family resource centers, one of the ways we do that is we have a separate mental health program where I have licensed, unlicensed counselors and interns, master's level interns that we use. And that's one of the ways that we're able to expand the services to the population we serve.
Tell us about the stigma of mental health. Do you think that it is still existing? I mean, we know that it is there. Do you think that we've made strides? And what are you mentioned that as one of the improvements you're gearing toward. What can you do about that?
That's a nice question. And I've been licensed for about 25 years. And while it has definitely gotten better, now it is not such a negative to say, oh, I'm going to go see my therapist or talk to my counselor. It's become kind of cool to do that, even in the media. The stigma is still out there. When you hear someone talk about mental health, they'll tell you that, oh, that person's sick, that person's crazy. You see somebody that's talking to themselves, and immediately it's like, well, I don't want them to get near me. It's contagious. It's there. And it's a huge issue as far as the stigma that's still out there. Out in California, there is a push to work with what they call the recovery model, and that is taking people who have mental illness and realizing that they actually know more about their mental illness than those of us that are trained, because they're living it. And we want to empower them to be able to speak up and say, hey, tell me that what you really need. One of the analogies that I heard used was, if you were to ask somebody, for example, who was diagnosed with bipolar disorder to introduce themselves, the first thing they're going to say to you is, hello, my name is Bill, I'm bipolar. And then from there, they will tell you something else about themselves. However, if you ask that same person who has asthma or diabetes, that's not the first thing they're going to say. What they're going to say instead is, hi, my name is Bill, I'm a father, I have diabetes, I have brown eyes, and so forth and so on. And the diabetes, for example, it's okay, that's just a part of you. But if you're diagnosed with a mental illness, that seems to define you. And so our goal really in reducing the stigma is to get rid of that definition and let people realize that even though you may have a mental illness, you may be diagnosed with something, whether it's depression or bipolar or something even more severe, that doesn't define who you are, and you shouldn't be labeled because of that.
Well, I think it's true the way that you say that it is more of a label than, say, if you said, I have heart disease or diabetes, and that people need to look at there's so many different types, Bill. There are so many different, it's such a broad spectrum. of mental health, as you mentioned, depression and those sorts of things. And now you're talking about the most vulnerable. Who are they and how do you reach them?
It's an interesting population because the most vulnerable when it comes to mental health could be anyone. Could be you, could be me, could be the people that you're dealing with that are at the poverty level. What we do at Mission is we reach out into our communities for people that traditionally have not been able to access these services for one reason or another, and that's how we define the most vulnerable. And the hard part is they're not coming into traditional centers to get services, so we need to be a little bit more creative. And one of the ways that we do that is we go out into the community and we look at different ways to reach out and go where they are. So we'll show up at places where the vulnerable in our community are congregating, and that could be at a church, it could be going to food banks, it could be going out into neighborhoods. We have programs that actually have people go into neighborhoods to talk to them and say, hey, let me tell you about X, whatever we're discussing. And if we can get people to come in, they can come to our center, or we can be out in the area and present topics on mental illness, topics on being aware, topics on depression. We want to really normalize the behavior, and a lot of times people are afraid. They're afraid that if I come and talk to you about this, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to get deported. Someone's going to think I'm crazy, and they're not going to want to be around me. So we really want to normalize it. The old saying, it used to be, hey, I'm okay, you're okay. It's kind of changed. I heard a pastor say the new way we should all look at this is, I'm not okay. And you're not okay, but that's okay. And that's kind of what we're trying to do, is normalize the behavior. If you're feeling sad, you're feeling depressed, let's talk about it. Let's normalize it. These vulnerable communities, they have a lot of challenges. They're looking at us and saying, I'm stressed because I don't know where my next meal is going to come from. I can't afford to pay my rent. I don't know if my child's going to get beat up because they're going into a gang. So there's a lot of other things that some of our population are dealing with, on top of the basic mental health challenges that everybody has growing up.
I think one of the most important and interesting ones now, Bill, is also early childhood mental health. How do you intervene for children?
It's interesting. One of the things that we've been looking at, I've been doing some studying at the research level, and early intervention is key. If you can intervene early, then hopefully you prevent some of these more severe challenges later on. You can't use the traditional approach of going in and talking to a young child about mental health. It doesn't work. You need to speak their language. But what has proven effective are parenting courses. And if you teach the parents to identify behaviors in their child and you teach them open communication so that the children are free, for example, if they're feeling stressed and frustrated, you've got some youngster who's being picked on at school, they need to find a way to where it's safe for them to share and talk about their feelings. The family members need to understand and look at signs and behaviors so that we can identify them and address them early on. And I think that's a huge, huge thing. There are a number of parenting programs out there that are evidence-based practices, meaning they've been proven to show an improvement in the mental health of individuals if you get them young. And it's when you start working with the parents and then with the families, and that's basically the best way to connect with the kids.
And so what do you do, Bill? We don't have a whole lot of time, but for ongoing training and support within the community.
That's one of these things that we're constantly working on and we are evaluating, and it's not something that is static. We look and see what the current needs are. So we'll go to the community and we'll do focus groups. We'll look and see where are the highest needs. What is it that we can offer? We offer the traditional services at our centers. You can come in, you can get individual counseling and family counseling and life skills courses on anxiety and depression and relationships, communication, and anger management. A lot of those traditional things we will go and present either at our center or out in the community, and we'll put a talk together. We found that if you use food, it gets people to come out into the community and say, hey, what have you got offered here? We need to make it non-threatening, and we need to come across as what we're here for, really, which is just to educate and to help. And I think when it goes back to your stigma question earlier, it's the same thing. It's education and awareness. Once people are aware that, hey, it's okay, I'm feeling this way and I need some help, and that's not a bad thing, then we've basically tackled half the problem. Then the next step is being able to provide the services and support.
And in the last 30 seconds or so, Bill, give us your best advice for Mental Health Awareness Month and what you think are the most important bits of information for the listeners.
Well, Mental Health Awareness Month is May, but as a therapist, every month to me is Mental Health Awareness Month. I'm glad that we have a month where people are paying attention, but I would just tell people to pay attention to your feelings. Feel your gut and realize when you're feeling stressed, you're feeling sad, you're feeling down, you're feeling angry, something uncontrollable, those are okay. And those are issues that you might be feeling, someone else might be feeling, and it doesn't make someone a bad person. The label isn't there. You don't need to worry about the stigma that someone has been diagnosed with something. It's okay. And as we talked about, maybe normalizing, like you mentioned, diagnosed with heart disease. It's just a part of who you are, and we'll do our best to help you get through whatever challenges you might be facing.
Thank you so much, Bill Tornquist. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's mission, the number 4, health.com. This is Melanie Call. Thanks for listening.